It's just good to be here together, isn't it? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. My name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the co-pastor here at our South Creek location, and I'm just excited to be able to continue to build off what we've learned the first 2 weeks in the series Disguises. The series, we pulled this from the passage, the fact that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The fact that Satan really disguises himself as somewhat attractive to pull us away from our Creator, to pull us away from being in deep and meaningful relationship with God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, our Savior. He hides himself as an angel of light. He hides himself in the busyness and the chaos of culture and media and entertainment so that we are fooled and he can attack us as the roaring lion to steal, kill, and destroy like we learned the last couple of weeks. And so this morning, we are going to identify three components that really lead to a healthy lifestyle, a healthy spiritual lifestyle in which we are fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. And the first two components we've really looked at these last 2 weeks. And so the first part of this message is going to be somewhat of a review, but we're going to add some new perspective and some new truth to it. And so if you say to yourself, you know what, I've heard this before, like you've already said this, some of this stuff the first 2 weeks, good. Because the reality is that sometimes you need to hear things over and over and over again before you actually take them out of here and remember them. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to build off the first week. We're going to build off the second week, and we're going to dive even deeper today. And the next week, we're going to wrap it all together with the armor of God. So the first week, we looked at the fact that we need to not agree with the enemy's lies. The fact that Satan's primary language is the language of lies. He is fluent in lying. And if we believe those lies, or we tell those lies to ourselves or to others, we are fluently speaking the language of the devil. And so we need to have the faith to commit to not believe those lies, to believe the promises that are found in Scripture, and be able to ignore those lies. And so we're going to wrap that first week up in the word faith. Faith to believe the promises of God. Faith to believe what is found in Scripture. And then the second week, last week, we looked at the reality of the fact that we need to continually commit to surrendering our battle, the spiritual battle that we are a part of each and every day, to be able to surrender that battle. The battle is our ability to surrender that to Jesus Christ. And so we are going to encapsulate that second week, last week, into the word commitment. The fact that we have the commitment to continually, daily surrender those battles to Jesus. Acknowledging the fact that he is the one that's victorious. He is the one that's fighting the battle through us as we are a conduit for the Holy Spirit to flow in and through. He wants to use us. He wants to engage us in the battle, but it's his battle to fight. So the idea that we have the faith to believe the promises of God found in Scripture and ignore the enemy's lies, and then the commitment to daily surrender the battle to Jesus Christ. So the reality with that is that if we just do those two things, we are on a great trajectory for success. However, we still can get in the way of it. We can still find ourselves failing. We can still find ourselves wrapped up in this cyclical trap of coming back to the sin that we've been trying to commit ourselves to not commit anymore. And that's because we're missing a third component. We're going to get to that third component in a little bit. But the reality is that we often can do these two things, and maybe we get really good at them, but we're just still missing it by that much. We there's still something we're missing, and so it's kind of like this guy who missed it by that much. Check this out.
Missed it by that much.
We got to add some humor into this pretty intense series, right? So it's the reality, though. We often miss it by that much because we don't actually fully understand and encapsulate the entire gospel of Jesus Christ and what he intends for each and every one of our lives. And so we're going to get to that in a little bit. And trust me, I'll get there. But hang with me, because we are going to reiterate the importance of faith and commitment as we get there. We're going to spend our time in Hebrews 3 this morning. So as you're turning there, as you're looking it up on your phone, or as you're sitting there waiting for it to pop up on the screen, I want to ask you this. Why is it that we so easily fall back into the sin that we are committing ourselves to no longer take part in? Why do we always fall into this cyclical motion, especially maybe when it comes to sins of addiction or habitual sins in which we say to ourselves, okay, I am not going to do this anymore. I am going to move on from this. But then all of a sudden, there we are again, asking God for forgiveness again and again and again. And he says we can do that, and he says we can come to him. But it seems like it just keeps happening over and over. We say, we're not going to believe the lie. We're going to commit the battle to Jesus. Even as Maureen was saying earlier, I know that I'm in this valley right now. I give it to you, but it doesn't make sense to me. Something's still not right. Because it's not like we wake up every morning and intentionally tell ourselves, okay, so today I am actually going to choose to believe the lies of the enemy. We don't wake up and say that. Or we don't wake up and say, you know what, all of that battle that I've surrendered to Jesus, I think I'm going to take back these parts of it because I'm pretty sure I can do this part better on my own. We don't intentionally do those things. We don't intentionally have that mindset. We have the passion and the desire if we have acknowledged Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And I want to pause for a moment because if you're not in that boat this morning, if you have not acknowledged him as your Savior, you haven't been receptive to that, I am praying and I hope that your heart is open to the reality of who he is, his redemptive, unconditional love, his grace and his mercy that is offered for you. Last week we talked about his prevenient grace that reaches out to you even before you acknowledge who he is in your life. It's for you this morning. But the idea is if we have entered into that relationship, why is it that we do the things that we don't want to do and we don't do the things that we should do? Paul tells us that he struggled with the very same thing in his writings. And he did the things he wasn't supposed to do, and he didn't do the things he wasn't supposed to do, and he knows he's supposed to do this, but he doesn't do it, and it's sin building up within him. It's a reality that as Christians, we all will face. What happens is that we begin to misbehave before we misbelieve, because our intentions are pure, our desire is pure, but we still fall back into the ways of our sinful nature. We still fall back into that. And because we do that, we do it over and over again, guilt begins to set in each and every time, greater and greater, more shame, more guilt, which is not of God. And so what happens is then we start to like recreate the Bible. We start to think to ourselves, and this is exactly how the enemy twists truth, twists the very truth that is found in Scripture and puts it in our mind and puts it in our heart to feel like it's something that we can get away from. Thoughts like, well, the Bible was written, you know, 2,000 years ago. I mean, is it really saying that to me right now today in this day and age, in this culture? And you start making excuses. You start shying away from what's actually biblical sound truth, and you start this slow fade away, and slowly you start fading away a little more and more. You start making excuses for this sin. You start making excuses for that sin. You start grabbing back onto this, and you start grabbing back onto this, and sooner or later, now you're believing the lies of the enemy without even realizing it and allowing him to attack you from all sides, and you slowly start to fade away. And instead of trying to get rid of your guilt, you start to slowly change your beliefs. The problem is that before you know it, you're so far off track that you've actually created your own God. You're so far off track that now you're just sort of serving this imaginary friend that condones everything that you do just to eliminate the guilt that you have in your life. And that's what we want to avoid. That's what we want to try and avoid. So why is it that we keep snapping back into that? We keep snapping back into this reality. That's what we want to protect from. And so with these first two components of faith and commitment, there is a third component that we're going to get to in just a minute. And I said we're going to be in Hebrews 3. I'm going to read verse 12, which reiterates the first two components, reiterates the first 2 weeks. Again, you're hearing it a lot, but maybe you're going to leave it and remember it, right? It says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Now, maybe you're thinking, where is faith and commitment in that verse? Well, it's right here. It says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart." That you need to choose to believe the promises found in Scripture. That you need to choose to believe those so that you can ignore the lies of the enemy. Choose to not have an unbelieving heart. And then the next thing is so that your heart does not turn away from the ways of the Lord. That turns away from the living God. And this word for turn is actually a slow turn. It's not an immediate 180 degree turn where you're all of a sudden, one day you're doing great, one moment you're doing great, and then all of a sudden you're like, you snap back 20 years. It's a slow turn. In fact, the writer actually is using it in the form of like water trickling down a shallow slope away from its original source. It's a slow, gradual fade, a slow fade. And before you know it, that slow fade has you so far off course, you're no longer even scripturally living your life the way God has intended you to. And this verse, the interesting thing about this verse is that it's written to believers. It's not written to just people who are struggling or people who have not yet acknowledged Jesus as their Savior. This book, this passage is written to people who already acknowledge who Jesus is. It's written to people who claim a faith in Jesus Christ. And it's saying here that be sure that your heart does not have a slow fade away from your core beliefs and commitments. It's saying that believers have the potential in their sinful nature, have the potential in their heart of being filled with sin and can then find themselves turning away from God. You see, I say this many times here, and again, hopefully you're going to understand and remember this. We at Watermark believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are on a journey of discovering wholeness in Jesus. We are on a journey. It's a continual process in which we experience more and more wholeness found in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're on this journey. We're either moving towards Jesus or we're slowly fading away from him. One or the other is happening. It's not like we reach this point and we've accomplished everything we're supposed to do. We've appeased God by following all the rules and regulations. So we've made it to this plateau. It's a continual journey. It's a continual process. And so are you progressing towards Jesus Christ or are you slowly fading away from him? And that is what this verse is warning us about. That is what the first 2 weeks have laid the foundation for us to believe in. And it's very easy. It's very easy in this day and age to slowly fade away without even realizing it or acknowledging it, without even intentionally doing it, simply because we live in such a busy, chaotic culture. For me, this month of October has been insane. I've been doing like more things than I would like to admit. It's just been a lot of responsibility and a lot of things that have to be done, and that's great. But then there's another way that Satan can come in and twist what is good and use it for a foothold to grab on and twist and tweak and distort truth. And all of a sudden, I'm so busy doing that I slowly start fading away from my time in God, in Scripture. I slowly start neglecting the importance of the power of the living Word of God. And so my ability to believe the promises that stand true, like we just sang about, are slowly faded away, allowing me to, without even realizing it, start to believe lies of the enemy. Or my prayer life struggles because I'm so busy thinking about all of the things that I need to do that I forget that I need to have communication with my Heavenly Father through prayer. Or I just get so busy shuttling kids all around from one thing to the next that I'm exhausted and then on Sunday morning I'm like, I'm just going to sleep in and not even head to church. And so we just find ourselves slowly drifting away without even realizing it because of the busyness of life. And before you know it, you're so busy doing. And I found myself into this. I'm so busy doing that I forget the importance of simply being. Being in relationship with Jesus. Being in the presence of God, as the presence of God has filled me as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we could stand up here like we have many times in the past and sing a very inspirational song that stirs your emotions and or have a drama up here that really points to the importance of praying more or reading scripture or being in a healthy community with Jesus Christ. And it would feel good for a while. You'd feel inspired and then you would go and you'd go home and you'd be like, oh, this is good. I'm going to do great. And then you're just going to fall back into your old ways because you're still missing this third component that I have yet to tell you about, right? So you're all sitting there thinking, I get it. The first 2 weeks, you're reviewing it. I understand. Faith and commitment. Don't believe the lies. Commit, surrender the battle. Could you get to the third component and get to the point, Trevor? Okay, I will. All right. So it's in verse 13. It says this. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. If you're taking notes, if you're opening a Bible, if you're looking on your phone, I would encourage you to underline, circle, or write down the word encourage because it is powerful. It is packed with meaning. This word means to urge, to exhort, to confront, and spur on. This word assumes relationship. It assumes that you have allowed people to enter into your life and you are entered into your life so you can be encouraged by and you can encourage others. It's a word that is about people doing life together. That is the desire that Jesus has for us as we enter into his kingdom, as we enter into his family, that we acknowledge that we are a part of his family and kingdom and we are there for one another. It's saying that if you see a brother or a sister in Christ, a fellow member of the body of Christ who has acknowledged Jesus as their Savior, if you see them struggling, you actually have the ability and the authority to reach out to them and ask them, what is it that I can do for you? I've noticed that you've said you were going to stop doing this certain activity, but now you're stepping back into it. You're slowly fading away from it. How can I come alongside you, help equip you, help pray for you, and nudge you back onto the right track? It's the reality of living life with one another. So this idea of faith and commitment are so very important to stay spiritually strong and defeat the various temptations that come along us each day. But this verse specifically is adding the third component of community. Community. It's important. It's necessary. And I'm not talking about community like a community event or a festival where you go hang out with a bunch of people that you don't know. Sometimes those communities are great catalysts to get people engaged into deeper community, which is what we're actually going to be intentionally doing November 9th for our Fall Fest. Well, we'll get to that at the end of service. But it's a reality that we are intended to be in deep community with one another. That is what this verse is explaining. For me, I experience this in a variety of different ways. And primarily, I experience it through community groups. I have two community groups that I'm a part of. One is a couples group in which we share life together. We share responsibilities together. We go from people's, from each of our home to home to home and share the responsibility if there's childcare needed or food to bring. We all come together as a community and speak into one another's lives. We've, through trust, allowed each other to speak into and receive from each other. And then I have another group of guys that meets early on Wednesday morning, and we love to live life together. We serve together, and we hold each other accountable in tangible and meaningful ways. I've shared this before in here, I think, but we hold each other accountable three specific ways: in the time that we spend in the Word of God, the time that we spend with our families. Are we giving ample time to our families, or are we too busy doing work that we've completely neglected them? And then as men, the time that we spend in media and the time that we struggle with lust. And so we base that on a 7-point scale, basically one day per week. And we say how we're doing. Like, is it a 3 out of 7 or is it a 7 out of 7? And if it's a struggle, we've given each other permission to speak into one another's lives. What is it that we can do for one another to lift us up, to keep us on track, to keep our mind and our heart and our soul and even our physical strength focused on the Lord and the way that he wants us to live our life? We live community together. We're not in it alone. And that's one of the most beautiful things when you enter into a community group scenario. And I'm not going to preach on community groups without giving you a tangible way to get engaged in one. So I'll bring it up again at the end of service. But we have a sheet over there. If this is something that you desire, you can go over. You can give us your name and your email address, and we will contact you and help you along in the process and walk you through the process of getting engaged in community. A lot of these groups just form organically through natural relationships, but we'd love to help you get into that group as well. Other forms of community are through encourager ministries that we have here at church. If you just need somebody to walk alongside you, we have people set aside that have a gifting in being able to do that, and they'll come alongside you one-on-one. Accountability and the importance of that. You can experience it through that. There are several ways to get involved. We don't want to just preach it to you and not give you a way to tangibly take it away. But it's amazing because when it comes to our faith in not believing the lies, and in our commitments, the commitments that we make, we actually think it's entirely personal. And we'll say things like this. Well, and we'll say this to other believers. And this is something in my community group and in groups similar that we try not to ever say, but we say things like, well, that's none of your business. I'm dealing with this. I'm struggling with this. My family's struggling with this, but it's none of your business. You can just go ahead and stay out of it. I'll figure it out and deal with it on my own. But here's the problem with that. That's completely counterintuitive and completely opposite of everything we're preaching about this morning. Because if you have given your life to Jesus, your life is no longer your own. You have offered it to Jesus. And as we spoke about last week, you have surrendered the battle, the daily battle that we will all face, to Jesus. And Scripture is telling you that your life is other people's business. Your life is other people's business. You need people in your life in order to keep you going. Other people aren't wasting their time spending it on you. At times, that is the exact thing that you need. And God has designed his church and the body of Christ to be that. It's so very important for us to realize that our life is other people's business. It's the business of those that are in the family of God, that we are a part of the same community, the same family. We are all sons and daughters of the living God, heirs to the throne. And we can call each other out, and it's okay. It's desired by God. I think at many times we hear this inaccurately said, even from preachers. And I think, honestly, myself, I've said this many times. And I need to twist my own thinking or reshape in a proper way my own thinking. We'll say, or we'll hear this a lot of times, all you need to do is invite God into your life and you'll be saved. All you need to do is invite God into your life and things will become better. Well, we've preached many times that things don't just get automatically better, but you have the ability to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what's wrong with that phrase. What's wrong with that phrase is the fact that you are inviting God into your life. The mindset is that you already have this life going on, that you've basically set up and you're already doing things just fine and dandy and however you are. And then you make this decision or this commitment to allow God to enter into your life and be your co-pilot as you still basically run it. So that's really not the way the gospel works. That's really not the way the love of Jesus Christ is intended to work. We are not to invite him into our life, but rather we are to give our life away, to surrender our life to him, to give our heart, soul, mind, and strength into his will for us. It's a surrendering. It's not an acceptance or an inviting of into. Yes, that occurs. His Spirit does flow into us, but we surrender our life to his control entirely. He is the author and pilot of what we do. And that's where we can so easily get that wrong. So in other words, your life is other people's business. It truly is. God wants to use other people in your life to keep you focused, to keep you turned toward him and not slowly fade away before you realize it and you're so far off. You see it, we can see the importance of community. We can see the importance of face-to-face interaction and accountability in groups even like AA. I was talking before services with somebody and the reality is that I've known people who are sober for years, maybe even dozens of years, and they still 2 to 3 times a week will go to an AA meeting because they value and understand the importance of community. And I was mentioning to them that, you know, we're saying a lot of the same things in this series, we're reiterating some of the same points, and she was like, well, that's what we do at AA. We go 3 times a week and we hear the same thing over and over because we need to hear it, because we need the accountability, because we need the body of people to come alongside us. And then you add the gospel of Jesus Christ to the beauty of community and you're set up for an incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. When you add all 3 of these components together the way God has intended them to be. So what is it for you? What areas of your life are crumbling, are falling apart, that you're still hanging on to, you're holding on to, you won't fully release them to God, you won't give them to God. Maybe it's just one little thing, but here's the reality, it only takes a small hole to sink an entire ship. So we need to consciously have the faith to ignore the lies and believe the promises found in Scripture, to daily commit our battle to the Lord, and allow ourselves to let community enter into our heart and our soul, in our life. I mean, the writer of Hebrews reiterates the importance of community as we can even jump to Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. He says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Again, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Again, the reiteration of the importance of encouragement, being able to receive encouragement, rebuke, and direction from somebody else in your life, and having the trust in other relationships to be able to extend it to others as well. That is the way the kingdom of God, the Big C Church, is designed to be like. And this, the word day in that passage is actually capitalized because it's referring to the end of times, judgment day. And the writer of Hebrews understood the fact that even so long ago when this was written, in order for the church to succeed and the kingdom of God to grow, the church needed to come together and be accountable to one another, encourage one another, and move forward in ways that are powerful and dynamic so the kingdom of God could spread among the nations. And that is happening. And that is happening in the most profound ways where community is the strongest. This verse is saying that we were created to protect one another. We have ultimate protection from our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. He is victorious. We can claim that victory through the power of the Holy Spirit, but he has given us one another to engage and inspire in that protection. Next week, we're going to talk about the armor of God. And as we are all fitted with the armor of God as a family, as a unit, as a source, the enemy has no chance against us. And so God's intention is for us to be able to protect one another. We can see this illustrated in a really pretty incredible way with zebras. I don't know if any of you fully understand what a zebra's stripes are for. I actually looked up this a little bit as I was trying to teach it, so I knew sort of what I was talking about. And zebra stripes are actually all individually unique. So it's sort of like a thumbprint. They have their own thumbprint, and that's through the stripes. But the primary purpose of a zebra's stripe is for protection, because their primary predator, a lion, sees in a perivisual way, in which a lion will see a herd, or is actually a zeal or a dazzle, I believe, of zebras. But we'll go with herd this morning. So when a lion sees a herd of zebras, all the lion can see is this one big mass of stripes. And so the lion really sees one big fat zebra that is unattainable. And so the lion will not attack necessarily the herd. But if you ever watch on National Geographic or whatever, what the lion does is it goes after the isolated zebra. It goes after the young. It goes after the weak. It goes after the injured. And its desire is to kill and destroy and eat the isolated zebra. Now, that sounds a whole lot like what we've been talking about right now. The fact that our enemy is like a roaring lion waiting to devour, to steal, kill, and destroy each and every one of us. And so when we isolate ourselves and remove ourselves from community, what God has designed for us, we are now in isolation and we are now vulnerable for attack from the enemy. And it's in those places where we can find ourselves in scenarios that we need to be in community. It's a perfect visual image of what the importance of community is for each and every one of us. We can learn from that. We all have the ability to withstand the enemy's attacks by ignoring and not believing his lies and the commitment to surrender our battle to Jesus Christ. But we have those two things come all full circle when we allow community to be a part of our relationship with Jesus Christ, when we allow other people to enter into our life, to protect one another, to be accountable to one another, to nudge and focus us on the right track so we can eliminate and avoid the slow fade away, which Satan so eagerly desires for us to experience. This morning, at this very moment, our church is experiencing some growth in community. And we are launching a brand new location down in Springville called the Springville Crossing, in which a new community, well, this community has been meeting together for many years, and now they've desired to come alongside and be a part of what we have going on at Watermark. And this idea of discovering wholeness in Jesus, we want to share it with other communities. And so we have partnered with the church in Springville, and they are beginning in this moment, and they are having their very first service as Watermark Wesleyan. And so we are excited for that. You're going to see some pictures coming up here in just a minute of some of the renovation process. But this is a way in which we are desiring and hoping that the community of Springville comes together in a larger community format And then that is used as a catalyst to jump into deeper community with one another. To jump into deeper community as they open their heart and their life for people to pour into them, to rebuke them, and for them to be able to do the same to others. That is the reality of community. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, the church that we are a part of. Not only the small church here at South Creek or McKinley, but down in Springville as well. And the Big C Church, all around the fact that we are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who love the Lord, and we are here and desired and designed to protect one another when it comes to the spiritual warfare that we face each and every day by ultimately giving away that surrender and surrendering that battle to Jesus Christ, claiming his power, and then using the tools of people around us to continue on the straight path. We were made for community. Now, the church does not save you. Coming to church does not save you. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. But the body of Christ and the body of believers is a tool that God wants to use to keep you focused in on him, to guard you from veering to the left, veering to the right. So we have faith, we have commitment, we have community. When we put all three of these components together, we can experience a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Does this mean that everything will be absolutely perfect? No, we say that all the time up here. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, giving you wisdom and discernment through the Word of God. You have people who are like-minded and believers of Jesus Christ who want to encourage and help you and equip you and keep you on the right track. When you combine all of that together, the enemy has so much he has to get through. And we stand victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can have that. We can claim that. This morning, I just want to pray, and I do this often. I just want to pray. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning thinking, well, that's really great and all, this whole community thing you're talking about. I'm not even sure that I acknowledge that Jesus is my Savior. I want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every single person in this room. You may be dealing with a dark, deep situation where you don't understand at all why you're in it. But God loves you unconditionally. His grace and mercy goes for each and every one of you. And as I, this morning, desire to give my life away again, to commit to give my life away to Jesus, not invite him into it, but to give it away, I ask that you would open your heart and your mind to be able to give your life away to him this morning as well. So you can enter into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, in which you then enter into a loving family of believers who want to come alongside you in powerful and tangible ways to protect you from the enemy that we've been learning about these last several weeks. So at this point, I'm going to pray. The band's going to come up. And I'm just going to pray for us. And I would ask and encourage you to pray along with me as we continue to seek direction and guidance and protection from the Holy Spirit and the people that he's put in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God that loves unconditionally, that you protect us in so many different ways, that your Spirit goes in and through us, and that we can be engaged in this battle that is all around us by claiming victory in you, by using your Holy Spirit. So Lord, I give my life to you again. I daily surrender my heart, soul, mind, and strength into your goodness and your will. And I ask if there's people in this room that have yet to do that, that have yet to surrender their life to you, that they would be able to do that this morning in a powerful and tangible and meaningful way. And as they do that, that they can claim the power that is found in Scripture. And Lord, if it's only that Sunday morning they hear anything that has to do with Scripture, Lord, I would pray that you would give them a desire in their heart to seek out the truth and the promises that are found in your living word for themselves, so that the enemy can be defeated as they ignore the lies and believe the promises they read and hear. And that they can daily, Lord, I ask that I give you my battle this morning. It's yours. If anybody in here needs to release that battle, Lord, I ask that you would give them the ability to release that battle into their heart, into your hands. Whether it's addiction, a habitual sin, whatever it may be, that it's yours and yours alone, and you're victorious through that. And Lord, I ask that people would be open to understanding and receiving the benefit of being in community with one another. Whether that looks like a community group, a church, a Bible study, an encourager, one-on-one partnership, whatever it may be, Lord, that you would inspire and direct us to be a part of your family and receive the benefits that you've designed for each and every one of us as the church of God. We thank you for all of that, Lord. You are a great Lord. a great Lord. And as we stand in a minute and proclaim that together as one voice, one unified voice that is united in spirit, Lord, we claim that your power would reign throughout us, and that as we go from here, we can experience your love and mercy and take it wherever we go, as the presence of God is within us, deep within us. And we take it and we experience your love and your mercy and your grace, and we shed it to others. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. We give you this morning, we give you this moment, and we ask that you show your greatness to us through those around us this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen.